Dave and Vicki. Joe Simpridge isn't here, so it's ruined my opening. He's supposed to bring me a glass of water, and I was supposed to say, thank you, Joe, for the glass of water. Thank you for your goodness. But since he's not here, I can't say that. Let's just review Galatians 5, 13 to 16, and what Paul remind us again about the fruits of the Spirit. Chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. For you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Thank you, Dave, for your goodness. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, and fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Continuing with the fruits of the Spirit, we'll be talking today on goodness. And I'd just like to have you turn to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. A band of ruthless people seeks my life. They have no regard for you. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servant, and save the son of a woman who served you before me. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Corrie Ten Boom wrote, I have a glove here in my hand. The glove cannot do anything by itself. But when my hand is in it, I got to remember to put the right hand in. When my hand is in it, it can do many things. True, it is not the glove, but my hand in the glove that acts. We are gloves. It is the Holy Spirit in us who is the hand, who does the job. We have to make room for the hand so that every finger is filled. The word good is thrown around a lot in our culture. People mix it up with the word kindness or something that can appeal to our personal taste, a good show on TV, a good restaurant. We can even see good as an adjective to describe totally the opposite, like he's good at hiding the truth. We use it to indicate competence, good at math, reliability, good brakes, strength, good eyesight, kindness, good of you to come, behavior, a good child, enjoyment, a good party, freshness, is the meat still good, worthiness, good old George. It is used as a noun, adjective, and adverb, and is the root of the wood of the word goodness. The common idea in almost all of its uses is that it suggests a desirable quality, something commendable, reliable, welcome, enjoyable, kind, noble, and admirable. In the word goodness, the qualities of virtue, excellence of character, morality, and attitude that we see in a person's behavior come to the forefront. The word the Apostle Paul uses here describes the character of a person who is benevolent or full of goodwill or charity towards others. Goodness is quite different from other qualities like gentleness and kindness. And a way of understanding what Paul was meaning here is to think of goodness as our inner qualities of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and of virtue and obedience, which are all made obvious through the way we behave. We can't hide goodness under a rock. It is something that is eventually seen, and goodness has to involve other people. Throughout scriptures, goodness indicates a passionate activity in doing good, whereas kindness or gentleness is a bit more passive. Jesus showed goodness when he cleansed the temple and drove out those who were not honoring the Father, whereas he showed kindness to the sinning woman who anointed his feet. Goodness is both kind and strong. Goodness rebukes and disciplines, where kindness only helps. Now, for us to produce goodness, all the other fruit traits must be present. Goodness without love is impossible. It becomes just nice. Have you ever said, "Oh, that person is nice. They're sweet and caring. They wouldn't hurt a fly. Never says a bad word to anyone." That's not goodness. That's niceness. Goodness has guts. A person acting out of goodness will love the other so much that they may say some hard words. And they say it through a heart of love, with a patient demeanor, and with an inner joy, and through kind and gentle expressions. God the Father is a great example of showing us goodness, because God is good. He heals, restores, blesses, and he saves us. Yet he corrects us, and sometimes severely. Just as we as parents need to correct our children so they become responsible adults that produce good fruit. The Apostle Paul gives us a clear sense of what goodness is in Romans chapter 15, verse 14. "I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another." Goodness involves commitment and cost. It just doesn't happen. It takes risks to allow goodness to begin to work in and through us. But without goodness flowing out from Christians and into the world, we are no good to anyone. Few people may act out of kindness, but only one may do it out of goodness. In giving a glass of water to someone, it may be because they should, but this is only obedience. They may do it because they feel it makes them feel good about themselves, but this is a little bit of pride. or they may do it with a strong and sincere desire to do the right thing. This is goodness. This understanding of goodness means that before we can call any action good, our inner motives must be right. And what sets someone apart as reflecting goodness is the direction of a person's inner desires, their motivations. The character that is being molded by God often makes mistakes, but goodness in a person shows an almost moral excellence in allowing God to work in and through them. And only God's goodness is perfect or absolute. He is our standard to measure ourselves with any area that we are growing in. And the key to goodness is to love the Lord. It is to seek His will in all things. It is to die to self completely and aggressively pursue our own healing and freedom so we can fight the good fight of faith. And also that we can abound in every good work, and so that we can have a good reputation with outsiders. Remember, he that began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And while he does, do not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Paul says it well in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Work on goodness. Look inside yourselves and allow Jesus to look too. He already knows what's there anyways. Aggressively pursue the fruits of the Spirit in all areas, and we will be able to stand. It's very evident that when we're moving in and through the Holy Spirit, it's not difficult to choose good over evil, as we read in Galatians. Jesus is our example of goodness. And as we remember our Lord entering Jerusalem into certain death on the back of a donkey, we should reflect on his goodness as his motives both then and now reflect pure goodness. So what is a good heart? I believe it's sincere, it's honest, and it's moral. But who defines morality? And for Christians, God is the only one who defines moral goodness. He sets the standards, and it's his expectations that must be met. And the scriptures reveal an ultimate and absolute definition of goodness. The first place in the Old Testament where something is called good is in Genesis chapter 1. As God spoke into existence each phase of creation, he saw that it was good. God's creation did what he intended it to do. It accomplished his purpose. It met his expectations. And that is one of the basic ideas of the goodness the Spirit wants to manifest in our lives. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph says to his brothers who had sold him into slavery, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about his present result, to preserve many people alive." God's good purpose in almost every situation is ultimately to save lives. Joseph suffered some very hurtful things, but they turned out to be a great benefit for him and for many others. They fulfilled the purpose of God, his redemptive purpose. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 presents the covenant choice. "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction." God calls his people to choose which way will be of great benefit to them rather than that of great harm. The opposite of life and good is death and destruction. Again, we see God's ultimate beneficial purpose of saving life and providing a new quality of life and well-being in fellowship with him. The sense of moral good versus evil is seen in Genesis chapter 2 in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Evil here has the idea of rebellion against God. The character of God defines moral goodness. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, shows this when in response to Moses' request to see God's glory, the Lord says, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. This says that the Lord is represented by his name, and it is called goodness, and is expressed in merciful, gracious love, which offers forgiveness and salvation to all who will receive it. This association of goodness, forgiveness, and love is seen also in the psalm that we read, Psalm 86, in verse 5. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. There seems to be an overlapping of goodness with the other fruits of the Spirit, such as kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and of course, love. Besides describing the character of God, goodness describes his action, his acts on behalf of his people and the benefits of his salvation. At the end of Psalm 23, David confidently proclaims, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In Amos chapter 5, verses 4 to 15, there's a powerful passage which parallels seeking the Lord with seeking good and doing good for others. Verse 6 says, seek the Lord that you may live. And verse 14, seek good and not evil that you may live. The good in this context is the opposite of oppressing the poor and the needy. Verse 15 indicates it is hating evil and loving good by maintaining justice in the courts. Seeking good meant seeking to benefit rather than to harm the needy, demonstrating the kind of saving, redemptive purposes that God has. New Testament references include the commendation of the servants in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. Good is associated with faithfulness, and it refers to conduct which goes beyond expectation in taking care of the master's capital. These servants made an extra effort and even took a risk to bring their master gain and benefit because of their commitment to him. Goodness involves going beyond the mere requirements. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, it talks about good ground and then speaks about a person with an honest and a good heart who hears the word and responds to it. So here, goodness involves the honesty of receiving God's word repentantly and responding in faith and obedience and accomplishing his purpose for your life. And one of the most famous and I think most interesting passages is in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, where the rich young ruler calls Jesus good. Good teacher or master in some versions. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. We can talk about good people and good things in terms of human standards and our expectations for them. But when it really comes down to it, who sets the ultimate standard and expectation for goodness except God? Jesus was challenging the young ruler to consider the truth that he was God come in the flesh, and that appreciating God's holiness and the gift of his Son would end the thinking that there is anything that one can do to earn salvation. John chapter 11 says that the one who does good is of God. True goodness can only flow out of a life right with God and in obedience to him. Listen to Paul's use of goodness in Romans chapter 5, verse 7. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. We can name many righteous people who do things right and never break the rules. But do you feel like dying for them? However, the person who benefits you somehow, out of generosity, kindness, going beyond what is right, is one that we may die for. Goodness goes beyond righteousness. Paul's list of the fruits of the Spirit, like his list of the works of the flesh, seem to have a lot of overlapping. Goodness following right after kindness seems to be closely associated to it. And to understand goodness, one must understand all of the fruit. And the demonstration of God's kind of goodness is called for in Galatians 6, where Paul appeals for gently and humbly ministering to others who are stumbling. We are to carry each other's burdens and care enough to get involved with one another to prevent moral and spiritual ruin. Verses 7 to 10 read, "Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." We must keep sowing to the Spirit, which means we must keep seeking God and letting His qualities be developed in us and flow through us by His Holy Spirit. And when we do, we will benefit others. We will reach out beyond our own selfish needs and be self-giving, or generous, as some translations refer to this fruit. And God's goodness goes beyond what is legally right. It goes the extra mile and gives what is needed and what will benefit, build up, and bless others. And the fruit of the Spirit must be continually cultivated. We need to sow to the Spirit continually so goodness will be expressed in our lives instead of our old selfish qualities. If I meditate on envy, jealousy, lust, worries, or fears, I'm going to reap from them some very selfish, evil fruit. I may explode all over someone and cause great harm rather than good. But when I sow to the Spirit by meditating on God's qualities through the Word, I will bear good fruit of kind, generous, beneficial acts towards others. I will help others experience God's forgiving, restoring love in Christ through faith. I will also live a morally pure life according to God's holiness. Bearing goodness means God can depend on me to be honest, to repent of my sins, and to turn away from evil. We need to continually seek to express this goodness in our responses and actions towards others. In the Christian, we see a pale reflection of this goodness, because a good person is one who thinks about love, beauty, and truth, not just the areas of majestic mountains, surging seas, gorgeous flowers and sunsets, but more specifically in their fellow human being. The Christian wants to alleviate suffering and to lessen the wrongs. The Christian consciously looks for ways to benefit others because he or she is not out to gratify themselves. The Christian's works are the opposite of the self-centered works of darkness. The good person is the benefactor of the weak, the helpless, and those in trouble, and sometimes even to the evil. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, in the presence of Cornelius and his family, Peter says of Jesus, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." The scriptures frequently speak of Jesus healing all who came to him without qualifications of who they were. He sharply rebuked those who had the power to do good but did not. And though he ate at times with the respectable of the cities and villages, he was known to keep company with publicans and sinners. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 to 13, he flatly states that he did not come for those who were well, but for those who needed a physician. And as a man, Jesus continued to follow the same pattern that he established as God above. And in so doing, he gave us a perfect example to follow. Sometimes we find it difficult to relate to the level of conduct that Jesus displayed in his life. We may justify our behavior on the basis that he was God in the flesh. But when we turn the searchlight of God's word elsewhere, we find that mere human beings are setting very high standards of goodness under trying circumstances. And one such person was Joseph. Joseph was wonderfully gifted and very righteous, but he was sold into slavery in Egypt by his jealous brothers. He overcame this through diligent and effective service to his master. Yet he was arrogantly thrown into prison on trumped-up charges. He lost his master's confidence, and his career appeared to be ruined by the combination of his goodness and the hatred of a wicked woman. What a fool, the world says. And doubters might comment that this is proof that God doesn't care because virtue should be rewarded. But to Joseph, it was better to have a clean conscience and to be clear before God in prison than to do wickedness and to sit at a rich man's table. Sometimes we make judgments too hastily before an issue is actually resolved. Joseph could have become bitter, but Genesis 39:21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." God did not abandon Joseph because he was in prison, and Joseph did not abandon God, nor cease doing good in his humiliating circumstances. He diligently served his captors and his fellow inmates. It was Joseph who noticed and inquired of the sadness masking the faces of the baker and the butler. His mind was not on himself, but on the good of others. He is a wonderful example of what godly goodness produces. And the Lord is with us too, regardless of our circumstances. And the same spirit that was in Joseph is in us. How many times have we had the impulse to do some good and then stifled it by giving ourselves some good reason why we should not? "Do not quench the spirit," Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, "but stir up the gift of God to even greater intensity," he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Goodness is something that we must devote ourselves to. We must cultivate it, because in this present evil world, we haven't been taught to really do good. It's not part of our character. We've been taught in being self-centered, and self-centered people cannot do godly good. Psalm 33, verse 5 tells us, "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord, because our Father is good." He is creating us in his image and drawing out of us his own goodness to witness that he is our God and to make us ready for his kingdom. He has given gifts to all of his children to serve him and to serve his church. And we need to take every opportunity to yield to his spirit for this purpose and to labor to develop the goodness that is one of its fruits. Carrie Ten Boom wrote, "I have a glove here in my hand, and the glove cannot do anything by itself, but when my hand is in it, it can do many things. True, it is not the glove, but my hand in the glove that acts. We are the gloves. It is the Holy Spirit in us who who is the hand, who does the job. We have to make room for the hand so that every finger is filled. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for your goodness. We praise you for this wonderful creation. We praise you for our salvation, when it would have been so easy just to let us go on our way. Father, our prayer for all of us here is that we seek you more and more each day. That if and when we get the cravings of the old self, that we turn to you and even say, Satan, get behind me. Father, we pray that we pray to you in the Spirit, that your Spirit may fill us, that we produce the good fruits. As you have said, Lord, on earth, I am the vine and you are the branches. And if the branches don't produce fruit, they are cut off. Lord, help us to want to be like you. Help us to love you more than anything else on this earth. Lord, be with us as we go our ways, and may your voice be speaking to us always. In Jesus' name, amen.